The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus and his disciples went into Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Christ.
In the name of our God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We've always known that there's more to the world than the eye can see. And in our own age, with talk of molecules and atoms and cells and viruses and microwaves and x-rays and radio waves, we know that a good deal of the invisible world, or a good deal of the physical world, is invisible. And when they talk about molecules interacting across, a lot of what they talk about is more mystical than the most religious teachings possible. So we live in a world that is kind of a strange place. And with that in mind, I don't think it's unreasonable, in spite of all the contrary talk I hear, I don't think it's unreasonable to believe in an unseen spiritual world. I mean, when you talk about what they say, the scientists say about the world, is it any more strange to think there might be a spiritual world? And let's start with this question. What's a thought or a feeling? What's an idea? Those are real things, right? I mean, before they made Big Ben, someone had an idea, and it was much more than some cellular activity. So with that in mind, what is human consciousness? What does it mean to be aware that I'm aware that I'm aware that I'm aware? And it goes on to infinity. What's the difference between the mind and the brain? Calling spirits energy, that's kind of a new thing. There's this energy, or calling the soul an animating principle, does not explain the mystery away. The words don't change anything. The fact is, it's something that has to do with an invisible realm. Now, the New Testament assumes the spiritual realm exists. It assumes it. It's just part of the world they live in. So when we hear St. Paul talking about idols and pagan gods, he's doing so in the context, this is not his teaching, this is Isaiah's teaching. And Isaiah's teaching comes down to this, and this is 500 years before Paul. How can you worship an idol? It's just a block of wood. And yes, and if you do morning prayer, we just read through this a couple days ago. He says, part of it you throw in the fire to bake your bread, and the rest of it you stick on the shelf and you worship it. How does that make sense? This is like 2,500 years ago. So Paul recognizes idols are nothing. Paul also recognizes that the gods, he says, there's so-called gods, he says, but there's lots of them. He recognizes that in that invisible realm, there's lots of energy or forces or spirits or gods or whatever you want to call them at work. There are gods at work in the world. In the Christian Bible, New Testament, and the Jewish scriptures as well, talk about God dealing with them in this time and place. Paul, at one point, identifies them as demons, that the pagan gods are really demons. Now, Jesus knew the demons were real because he actually met with them and dealt with them. Right? It's kind of like you say, well, you may say they don't exist, but who put the lump on my head? All right, the lump on my head is sufficient proof for me. Jesus dealt with them, and his mission is against the dark parts. Part of his mission is to undermine the rule of Satan in this world. Remember, both Paul and Jesus taught about Satan as the ruler of this world, or the god of this world. I mean, it's very, very clear. And this is part of the church's ministry for that reason. Now, chapter 1 gives us this encounter, and as you can guess, Mark chapter 1 means it's the very beginning. So this is early on. Mark puts his story early on, and he's in Capernaum. And the reason I love Capernaum so much is because I walked it off. And this is exactly how big a synagogue is. I walked it off. It's exactly this big. So we can have a sense of Jesus in a room this size. And I'm talking about from the floor. It's just the floor. So how many people were in the place? Well, you can. They didn't have COVID, so they could probably load up. But it's still not going to be more than, 35, 40, 50 people. It's not it's not a huge room. And in this room, Jesus is amazing. He's teaching and he is amazing. And suddenly in this room, a guy jumps up who has an unclean spirit. Note to self, when you're at church and looking around at the crowd, which one is filled with the unclean spirit, right? Like you kind of think it's a safe place to go to church. Obviously not. And the demon gets up. You heard what he says. You're the Holy One of God. You come here to destroy us. And Jesus basically says, shut up and get out of here. Silence. Go. And this is important because we talk about God a lot, right? You know, the power of God and all that. He didn't disappear, did he? Let me tell you what the Greek word sporazo means. To mangle, to rend, to spasm. The demon left, but that doesn't sound like there's leaving and then there's leaving, right? He didn't just disappear. He did some damage on the way up. The violent departure is a reminder that even though Jesus is victorious in the battle, my friends, there is a battle. And we're the battleground. Do you ever felt mangled? That's part of the deal, apparently. So Jesus' kingdom, what's Jesus' kingdom? Love, mercy, repentance, unity, peace, shalom. What's Satan's desire? The opposite. Well, what's the opposite of love? What's the opposite of repentance? I'll tell you what it is. Read Facebook. They need to fry them people. Everybody agrees they need to fry them people. They're just not all in agreement on who them is. That's the exact opposite of repentance. And it's so justified. I can go off on the street. It is so self-justified because we're right and we're not listening to the crap you listen to. And we're not led astray by the garbage you listen to. And we're all doing it. And meanwhile, Jesus is saying, tell me again whose life you have control over. Repent. Satan comes to bring chaos and violence. And that's what he did with that man's life. He disrupted this church service. And don't think that's not going on? The work of demons has never ceased. And I don't know if y'all are going to remember this. 3 years ago, I told you that the Vatican had a report come out about the massive increase in demonic possessions. And that they had called together training for priests to learn how to be exorcists. And at that same time in this church, we had had a couple of events similar 3 years ago. And so here's my question. If there is an increase in demonic activity, do you think there's any possibility that all the mental health issues, all the political turmoil, all the violence infecting our land and the world, do you think those could be the fruit of the Holy Spirit or another spirit? So in the darkness, we can get discouraged, right? I was preparing for Christmas Eve and said to someone who called me that week, you all having services? I said, I'm sure we are. They're not going to cancel 3 days before Christmas. 6 seconds later, I looked at my email and called them back. Well, I guess maybe they can. We've had the carpet pulled out from us so many times. And I'm not talking about the bishop blaming her. What I'm saying is, that's what's going on. And it's darkness. It feels dark. I'm missing people. I think I'm mentally not so stable. All right? I'm emotionally not so stable. And I don't know. There's so much lies swirling around and half-truths and untruths and threats. And you hear about it feels dark to me. Of course, the bright, sunshiny day takes that all away, right? In the midst of this darkness, let's remember Jesus is phosphorus. Phos, light. Phoros, carrier. Jesus is the carrier of light. Epiphany is the celebration of the eternal light become incarnate, and it's the manifestation of salvation of God. Whether it happens in a little, in, if it could happen there, it can happen here. A little tiny little synagogue where God Almighty incarnate in Jesus Christ brought the light of truth and salvation and cast a demon out of that man who laid mangled on the floor for a while but got back up a much better man. So believe, repent, love the Lord and love one another from 6 feet away with a mask on as best you can. Be aware of the demonic powers at work among us, especially in our minds, in our hearts, our bodies, and dare I say it, in our politics. Worry less, trust more. If you don't remember anything else, when you leave here, think of this. Jesus means worry less, trust more. Worry less, trust more. Pray, study, serve the poor and needy. Worry less, trust more. Jesus came to destroy the demonic and set us free. And if we have to go through some spasms in the meantime, that's the earthly sojourn. But we have hope. We have hope. And Jesus is victorious. That is absolutely guaranteed. Amen.